Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on the entire internet. Let's get straight to the docket today. First, attorneys can't counsel others on how to commit a crime and to get away with it. Second, more teacher trouble. Third, make a wish. Fourth, a whole lot of dismembering going on these days. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk. My name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button and always hit that little bell in the corner so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, as a reminder, tomorrow night, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, we will be going live on both YouTube and Facebook simultaneously. Please join us. One of the things we're going to talk about on our Patreon show, which airs right after our live, so if you're not a Patreon member, now is the time to do so, but we're going to be talking about the Chris Watts's innocent theory and debunk that. So please join us. Now, first on the docket, lawyers cannot counsel someone on how to commit a crime and to get away with it. Let's talk about a very good example. All right. A licensed Nashville attorney has been suspended for 4 years. That means he's not going to be practicing law. And at the end of that 4 year period, assuming he can show that he is a changed man and is in good standing, he still has to take the bar exam to become a lawyer again. So this whole story starts out by an attorney by the name of Winston Bradshaw Sitton. And he's an attorney in Nashville, Tennessee. He was giving advice over Facebook, which is not a good place to give legal advice, even if you know the person or not. Not a good thing to do over the internet. And as you may note here on Crime Talk, we've never said this is how you commit a crime. We often say how people get convicted of a crime, but we're not counseling anybody on how to beat a crime. So this attorney back in 2017 responded to a Facebook friend who described a very tumultuous relationship and breakup with her child, with her father's child, and inquired about the legality of carrying a gun in her car. Well, as the story goes on, attorney Sitton apparently wrote that if a woman wanted to kill her ex-boyfriend, she should, quote, lure him into her home and claim he broke in with the intent to do harm, and she feared for her life. Now, these are all facts that came out at the Tennessee Supreme Court hearing. Well, Sittens, whose Facebook page described himself as a lawyer, also emphasized in the comment that this advice was given, quote, as a lawyer, end quote, and that if she was to remotely be serious, she should delete this thread because it could possibly be used as proof of premeditation against her at trial. So, he specifically said, if you want to kill him, then lure him into the house and claim he broke in with the intent to do you bodily harm and that you feared for her life. Even with the new Stand Your Ground law, the Castle Doctrine is a far safer basis for use of deadly force. The woman responded, I wish he would try, to which Sitton advised her to keep mum about this. Clearly, Mr. Sitton must have realized that he may have crossed the line. The Tennessee Supreme Court did, obviously indicating that he is no longer a lawyer, at least for the next 4 years. Now, how did Mr. Sitton get in trouble for this? Although the woman later deleted the Facebook post, her ex-boyfriend became aware of the exchange and brought screenshots to the Shelby County District Attorney General, Amy Weinrich, who then passed the screenshots to the Tennessee Board of Professional Responsibility. The four-year suspension is actually a 1 year in which an active suspension and the rest is on probation. This case is a cautionary tale, obviously, about the ethical problems that we can befall lawyers giving legal advice on social media. Yes, there is no formation of an attorney-client relationship necessarily, but if the individual on the other end believes that they are engaging in an attorney-client relationship, then the attorney has a problem. In this particular case, he stated, this is giving advice as a lawyer. You can't do that. And guess what? When you give your advice to the general world like that, there's no attorney-client privilege whatsoever. Maybe he had taken a few adult beverages when he was giving the advice out, but needless to say, it didn't work out well for him. Now, Mr. Sitton wrote in the proceedings that he absolutely contests the findings that my gratuitous commentary offered to a battered woman who was being threatened and abused and harassed by her son's father was legal advice how to commit a crime or in any way violate his legal duties as either a citizen or as a lawyer. Well, the court stated, we agree with Mr. Sitton that it is hard to conceive of any reason why a lawyer, any lawyer, would offer instructions on how to commit murder and stage a concocted defense. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I assure you, people should be very cautious when giving advice over the internet. Certainly, you have to be careful indeed. Let me know whether you believe Mr. Sitton got what he deserved from the Tennessee bar, or do you think that they blew it out of proportion? Next on the docket, more teacher trouble. A teacher at a New York girls' school was arrested Saturday after he traveled to Tampa, Florida, to allegedly engage in an intimate relationship with a child. Zeshan Naqvi, 31, allegedly has been communicating with the victim, who he met online, and they've been going back and forth for about 3 months. Naqvi was arrested in a hotel in Florida about 1 p.m. when he arrived with the victim. Naqvi apparently, allegedly, picked up the victim from their home at about 1:30 a.m. Saturday morning and returned her a few hours later. The arrest came during their second trip to the hotel. He's been charged with 7 counts of unlawful sexual activity with a minor and 1 count of traveling to meet a minor after using a computer device to solicit illegal acts, and he's being held in jail in lieu of posting a $60,000 bond. Mr. Naqvi also teaches at the New York's Young Women's Leadership Schools, which is a public secondary school for girls in grades 6 to 12. The reality of it is, it sure seems like we hear more about teachers, both male and female, engaging in inappropriate sexual conduct with children, students, more and more frequently. Next on the docket, Make a Wish. We've all heard of the Make-A-Wish Foundation. There's a big organization, and each state's oftentimes have their own organizations. They're 501c3s, not-for-profit organizations. But now the former CEO of Make-A-Wish Iowa has been arrested and charged with first-degree theft and unauthorized use of a credit card. Jennifer Woodley, given her the presumption of innocence, was booked into jail last week. The Make-A-Wish organization announced last summer that it had discovered financial irregularities during a compliance review and that Woodley had been dismissed after serving as CEO for 1 year. Apparently, Ms. Woodley secretly awarded herself a $10,000 bonus in October of 2019 that had not been approved by the board, and according to the criminal complaint that was unsealed Friday, the bonuses were added to a list of legitimate bonuses earned by other employees. In addition, there were some personal use on the Make-A-Wish credit card totaling some $23,000. And I'm sure at the interview, Ms. Woodley said she's here to help the children, because it's always about the children. Needless to say, Ms. Woodley will not be in a position where she is going to be managing books or giving herself bonuses anytime soon. Next on the docket, there's a whole lot of dismembering going on. First today, an Oklahoma woman was arrested in Wisconsin on Thursday in connection with a 2020 disappearance of her roommate, whose body was discovered in a sealed freezer buried in the woods in Arkansas last week. The Wagner County, Oklahoma Sheriff's Office announced Friday that Core Adams Bomelli was arrested in Wisconsin and was expected to be extradited to Oklahoma to face charges of first-degree murder and desecration of a corpse in the death of Talena Galloway. Talena Galloway was reported missing back in April of 2020. Core Bomelli, Galloway's roommate, reported her missing and that they lived on the west side of Fort Gibson Lake in Oklahoma. Although authorities determined Bomelli was exhibiting suspicious behavior during their investigation, including giving inconsistent statements and deceptive reports of the circumstances surrounding Galloway's disappearance, investigators also served warrants and conducted multiple interviews in several jurisdictions over the course of 9 months. Multiple possible crime scenes reportedly revealed trace evidence, including blood and DNA evidence. Bomelli soon became a person of interest in the disappearance of Galloway, and Ms. Bomelli then refused to cooperate further in the investigation. Now, a witness in Arkansas contacted police because she was out walking near the woods and a foul odor was detected by the witness, and a foul-smelling thick liquid was pooled in the floor of a trailer. The license plate tag number later was found to be registered to Talena Galloway. The deputy was dispatched to investigate, but no further action was reported. The same witness was walking in the woods in the same area on January 14th of this year and found a white box-type freezer with its lid taped shut with a foul smell surrounding it. The witness reported it once again to the police. When the police arrived, they discovered the dismembered human remains inside the freezer. Needless to say, the Arkansas State Medical Examiner took possession of the freezer, and on January 19th of 2021, the identifying information came back regarding the remains, and it was determined that it was Talena Galloway. Her death was obviously ruled a homicide given the circumstances of where the body was located and the circumstances as a whole. The police immediately began looking for Ms. Bomelli, who was currently out on bond for another charge of illegal possession of a firearm. Obviously, she was believed to be and was found in Wisconsin, where she was arrested. We'll continue to follow that. The next case that we have actually comes here from the state of Colorado. Benjamin Satterwhite, 28, was arrested this past week and charged with first-degree murder and tampering with a deceased human body. It was the culmination of a gruesome and mysterious case that involved at least one death connected to the suspect. On December 29th, city workers were clearing an area where snow had fallen on a path, and they came across a suitcase. When the worker opened one of the suitcases, they immediately discovered a foot and called the police. Once the police arrived, they opened up another suitcase and they found the victim, 33-year-old Joshua Lockhart. He was last seen alive on December 26th. The reason why the police got a good break was that when the officers were investigating the scene, they also found a United Airlines sticker on one of the bags with the barcode and the words Ben and Satterwhite, leading them to the suspect a few days later. Rule of thumb there, certainly not giving legal advice on how to get away with a crime, but clearly Mr. Satterwhite was arrested because he left his bag tag on the suitcase in which he left the dismembered body. Whole lot of dismembering going on here lately. And what's the thing they had in common? They were roommates. Do you really know who your roommates are? If you're not certain, or maybe you think I should sleep with one eye open tonight, go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service, and you can anonymously search your roommate, see if they have something they need to talk to you about. Or maybe you don't want to talk to them. Maybe you just want to leave. But anyway, you can get the information to make that good decision. And the background report, which is going to generate a report, and literally millions of public records are searched while you wait. It's going to have information related to their social media, emails, phone numbers, criminal history, property records, civil judgments, divorce records, everything you're going to want to know that maybe people aren't necessarily telling you when they need to get a roommate to share the rent with. Go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, Now, our winner last week is our North Dakota contestant, Mr. Escabel Robles. As you may recall, he was pulled over. The police noted that he had the shirt on that said, "Don't do drugs." Well, needless to say, Mr. Escabel was not following his own advice, because when he was arrested and searched, they found methamphetamine on him. Mr. Escabel, you are a Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week, and you will be receiving a Crime Talk mug. Congratulations. Now, we have a whole new week of contestants coming up here. And our first contestant this week is Renardo Leonard. He's 36. We'll give him the presumption of innocence. But apparently, for some unbeknownst reason to anyone, and possibly even Mr. Leonard, he allegedly stole a vehicle, and not just any vehicle, but an ambulance, a ambulance valued at over $150,000. And when Mr. Leonard left the scene from where he took the ambulance, he left with the lights on, and he only went down the block a few miles. And where did they find him? That's right, in the Jack in the Box drive-thru ordering food. And his Jack in the Box tagline has said, "The food is better at the box." Well, guess what? Mr. Leonard may be sitting in a box called a jail cell for a while, and somehow I don't think the food is as good as what they have at Jack in the Box. Mr. Leonard, congratulations. You are a Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Day. And if you are able to become the Dumb Criminal Contestant of the Week, we will be sending you items that you didn't have to steal that you can call your own, and you can take into Jack in the Box as well. All right, that's all we have. Thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and please join us tomorrow when we go live 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Immediately after that, we'll do our Patreon, and we will be dispelling all of the Chris Watts's innocent theories. It started out as a pretty good conversation last week. I think it ought to be a good one this week as well. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.